20 after the hour, spending time this morning on this 1st of December with Bishop Donald Hying from the Diocese of Gary, Indiana. Our preparation for Advent, our theme this hour with Bishop Thomas Olmsted from Phoenix and Bishop Edward Scharfenberger from Albany in the next half hour. Bishop Hying, let's talk about this obvious season of preparation. Advent is here. It starts on Sunday. However, the spiritual significance of Advent can very easily get overridden by the tsunami of Christmas, this culture of Christmas in the United States. What do we do with this culture?
I think our culture's in this instant Christmas thing, you know, so there's Christmas decorations at Halloween and stores and all of that. It's important to remember this year Advent is literally only 3 weeks long. So because Christmas is on Monday, we really lose almost an entire potential week of Advent. So it's a very short time, which in a way is emblematic of our mortal life, right? We're here for a very short time. So we have these 3 weeks of Advent to really prepare for the wonder of Christmas, the gift of the Incarnation. I always look at Advent through a perspective of joy and silence, you know, that to really reflect on joy in my life, that joy is different than pleasure. It's even different from happiness or fulfillment. Only God can give me joy, but I can only accept that gift of joy when I enter into silence and I enter into gratitude. So during Advent, I always try valiantly and fail to really find more time to be silent and to be still. So maybe the most prophetic thing we can do this Advent is just to not do anything, you know, to sit still and let God speak to us in silence. Cardinal Seurat of the Congregation of Worship at the Vatican wrote a beautiful book on silence that I've been delving through. And he just speaks about how we live in a culture, especially in the West, where silence has become almost eradicated and what that does to us spiritually. So, you know, amidst all the frenetic activity leading up to Christmas, I think the most prophetic thing we can do is to be silent and still and let the Lord fill us with joy.
It's interesting you mentioned that, and I don't mean this to be all about me, but this is an experience that I had and a gift that I got out of silence in praying for the souls in this month of All Souls, is the fact that, as basic as this sounds, I'm embarrassed to say this, you don't have to stop praying for the souls on December 1st. It's not just reserved for the 11th month of the year. And I was thinking, you know, as I fervently pray for the lost souls, the souls of my friends and family, I can do this all the time. I can do this at will. I'm sitting at a traffic light. I can say a quick prayer. But that only came out of silence, Bishop Hying.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're often afraid of silence because we're afraid of what we're going to hear in the silence or what God is going to say. Or in silence, we're often faced with our aloneness, our loneliness, our wounds, our sufferings. And yet, I think it's in silence that we come in touch with our aloneness. And I would always say to the seminarians when I did a formation work with them that when we embrace our aloneness, it becomes solitude. So we're all afraid of being alone, of being lonely. But when we kind of stop and face that courageously in silence and embrace it, it becomes solitude. And it's in solitude that we find God. I mean, it's what drove John the Baptist to the desert. It's what drove Jesus to the desert in his preparation for ministry. You know, in the silence and solitude of our home, the angel Gabriel came to the Blessed Mother. So the key moments in Scripture, if you look at many of them, think of the agony in the garden, you think of the Annunciation, in those moments of solitude and silence, God speaks.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because when a new priest was assigned to our parish, at the consecration in his first Mass, you could almost hear a murmur take place because as he raised the host, it took him about 30 seconds. Then his genuflecting after that did the same thing with the chalice and genuflecting after raising the host in the chalice about another 15 seconds. And you could hear, is he okay? What's going on? Because we want every moment just kind of filled and, you know, moving along like that.
Right.
And then I went up to him. It took me a while. I said, why do you do that? And he said, it's the only time during the week that I pray for myself. I said, what do you pray for?
Well,
and he said, for energy to do my job and to be a good priest, for memory. to remember all of the good things that God has put in my life, for understanding that I listen with an understanding heart and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I'm in a conversation with anyone, for energy, for memory, for understanding, for wisdom, that I interpret the Word of God the right way, and for purity of mind, heart, and body.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Takes your breath away.
Yeah, right.
And then you realize,
you realize,
if I only stop to have a conversation with the Lord, look what will happen.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, those beautiful moments of silence in the liturgy that sometimes we're tempted to break short or rush, you know, silence after the proclamation of the word, silence be in the penitential rite as we ponder our sins, silence after the homily, you know, silence at communion, you know, that there's moments of silence within the liturgy, and they're there for a reason, you know, that it's not always through word and song and action, but it's in moments of complete silence that God speaks.
I often thought after the homily, right, Father should do a little pop quiz about what he just said.
Wouldn't that be great?
If you really want silence.
Right. Yeah. I've always wanted to take a poll of people coming out of church and just say, what was the gospel and what's one thing you got from the homily, right? Because we're so distracted that it's very hard to really pay attention.
It does kind of go on our permanent record, because it's how we absorb the Word of God and how we're going to live it. If we can't remember it, how can we absorb it and then live it? And when we get to that point of, you know, what did you do with you? There it is.
Yeah. Amen.
There it is.
Matthew Kelly tells us, take a notebook to Mass and write down one thing that struck you. And that's really neat.
That a confession here. I didn't take the notebook, but I took out the smartphone because Monsignor's homily was like, and I'm taking notes and I'm thinking, all right, people are going to judge. Think, look at that guy. He can't put down Twitter or email for a moment. But I was taking notes that we shared last Monday on the show.
Oh, that's great.
I once tried to record it, but it didn't pick up. But yeah, I'm the guy who takes notes at homilies. So.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. That's how it absorbs into us, right? We have to write it down. We have to think about it. We have to pray about it.
Is it accurate, Bishop Hying, to look at Advent? There's certainly great joy, and there's silence in Advent. To look at Advent as kind of a mini Lent? I know I'm being liberal there using that term.
Well, it's a season of preparation. You know, Lent prepares us for Easter. Advent prepares us for Christmas. I'd say it's different in one sense. Lent is certainly much more penitential.
Mm-hmm.
Advent is much more a season of hope and expectation. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do penance or sacrifice during Advent, but really the focus is on, if you look at the readings especially, the focus is on how Christ is the fulfillment of the hope and desire of the Old Testament. So we have these prophetic readings from Isaiah, Zechariah, just dripping with hope, you know, dripping with desire. You know, Isaiah says, God, you know, rend the curtain that separates you from us. You know, break the cord that keeps us from you. And even those great prophets could never have imagined, they expected the Messiah. They never would have imagined that God himself would be the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They thought God would send the Messiah. But to say that God himself would become the Messiah, that was beyond even their hope and desire. So really, I try to focus in Advent on how Christ is the fulfillment of all of our desire. So we look deeply at our greatest desires, the hungers of our hearts. We quickly realize in prayer and silence that only God can fulfill that desire.
Right.
I really see Advent as a season of hope and of desire fulfilled in Christ.
Yeah, to keep that focus on that hope and that desire as we enter into this season of Advent, and especially a condensed one because of the calendar. I think we only have about 21, 22 days of Advent, because Christmas Eve also is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Bishop Donald Hying, the fourth bishop of the Diocese of Gary, Indiana, God bless you. You are in our prayers. Let's talk before we get to Christmas. Bishop Donald Hying this morning. We'll continue our preparation for the season of Advent. Coming up in the next half hour, we go to the Diocese of Phoenix with Bishop Thomas Olmsted, and then up to the Diocese of Albany with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger as we continue on the 1st of December, 29 after on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.